next week. We're not going to have a shiur. Next week is the Chag HaSmicha, the Reitz Chag HaSmicha, which we will be celebrating the newly ordained Rabbanim of Reitz. So please join us for that. The program will be live streamed at y.edu/Chag. Our next shiur, and appropriately, our next shiur will be given by the director, the Abraham Arbisol Chair, the director of Rabbi Joseph P. Soloveitchik's Smicha program at Reitz, Rabbi Ari Leibowitz. His topic this morning will be when a woman forgets to light Shabbos candles. I believe he's Amut, right? Wonderful, the Chavon Rav, Rabbi Leibowitz.
Good morning, have a great week, and see you at the Dishmaya.
Amen.
Every time to see you live and also through the Zoom. Arbe Bracha, and continue to reach all the world with Torah, Mitzvot, and Maasim Tovim.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. So nice to see you, Rav. Okay. Okay, so this morning, first of all, thank you all for coming to learn together this morning. It's always such a chizuk to see so many people coming on a Sunday morning to learn Torah together. This morning's topic, we're going to talk about something that comes up all the time. It's something that a rabbi of pretty much any size shul gets asked every once in a while, and that is that our lives, as busy as they are, sometimes a situation arises where a woman forgets to light Shabbos candles. And everyone is familiar, or most people are familiar, with the idea that there is some sort of penalty, some sort of long-term knas, that a person has to light extra candles going forward if they forgot to light Shabbos candles. So I want to talk about some of the details of that, both in terms of the reason for it, some perhaps nafkaminas, between the various reasons for this idea, the source for where it comes from, whether it still applies nowadays, and hopefully to get a better understanding of this sugya. But in order to understand this topic at all, we first need to understand why it is that women are the ones that are that shoulder the responsibility of lighting Neros Shabbos. After all, Neros Shabbos is something that applies for men and for women. If a person is a single man and he lives in his own home, of course he's obligated to light Neros Shabbos. If one's wife is away, of course he has to light Neros Shabbos. So where do we ever get the idea that women are chayiv in Neros Shabbos more so than men? The reason that we light Neros Shabbos, the Rambam writes that it's a midin kavod Shabbos or oneg Shabbos. The Gemara indicates that it's because of shalom bayis. All of these things apply to men every bit as much as they apply to women. Kavod Shabbos, Oneg Shabbos, Shalom Bayis, we're all equally responsible for it. So why is it that the Minhag Yisrael, in every segment of Klal Yisrael, as far as I know, is that women are the ones that take responsibility for this mitzvah? So it seems to be based on a Mishnah in the second paragraph of Maseches Shabbos. The Mishnah tells us, Al Shalosh Averos Nashim Mesos B'Shas Leidasan, that there are three averos for which women are at risk of dying during childbirth for failure to perform mitzvos or for violation of these averos. And they are Al She'in and Zihiros Benida, Bechala, Uvahadlak Asaner, because then those who are not careful enough about the laws of Nida, family purity, about the laws of separating challah from the dough, and the laws of lighting Shabbos candles. Those are considered to be the mitzvos that are in the realm of the woman. And the Tana compares Ner Shabbos, apparently, to Nida and to challah, which clearly are mitzvos that more relate to a woman than they do to a man. We find, for example, that there are three things a man is supposed to say in his house right before Shabbos. Hadlikos Haner. One of the things is he has to remind his wife, don't forget to light the candles. What do you mean remind his wife to light the candles? Why doesn't he light the candles? The assumption of the Tanaim is that his wife is going to be the one to light the candles, that it is a woman's responsibility to light the candles. But the question begs itself, why? Why is it a woman's responsibility to light the candles? And this seems to be a machlokas Rishonim. There are two basic opinions in the Rishonim. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos Perkei Halacha Gimel writes, Lefi shehin mitzuyos bebatim veheina oskos bemelachas habayis. Women are the ones that are around. They're the ones that take care of the home. They take care of everything else in the running of the household. And therefore, this is something that's fundamental to the running of the household. And that's why women bear the lion's share of the responsibility when it comes to Neros Shabbos, since it relates to the running of a household. However, Rashi seems to say differently. Rashi says, yeah, what would be if the woman does not take the lion's share of the responsibility running the household? household? What if you have a situation where the woman has a very high-powered, high-paying job, and the husband is a stay-at-home dad, and he's the one taking care of the household for the most part? Different families function differently. So Rashi writes, no, it's not about how the household functions. Rashi writes, V'nashim nitztavu al kach, Kedamrin bebereshis Rabba, he ibda chalaso shalolam shal yada nitra adam arishon shenitram kechala v'kavsa neiro shalolam v'shav chadamo va'od shetzarchei abayis tluyin ba. Rashi says that it relates to the original sin of Chava, that it's all part of making up for that original sin of Chava, that what Chava had done is said to have been a destruction of the chala of the world, and that's why hafrashas chala is more in a woman's domain than in a man's domain, and she said the Chava was said to have extinguished the candle of the world, and therefore for all eternity women are lighting candles to make up for that original sin of Chava. So it seems something much more fundamental to being being womankind, rather than anything practical like the Rambam says about who's taking care of what's going on in the house. The Tur quotes both of these reasons. Shulchan Aruch only mentions the Rambam's reason, but the Magen Avraham quickly jumps in and says the reason of Rashi as well. So it seems that both of these reasons are accepted lahalacha. There may be an afkamina between the two reasons. What if you have a case where you have a married couple, and the wife is away for Shabbos. She's not around that Shabbos, but there are daughters that are over the age of bat mitzvah that are around. Who should be the one to light the candles? If the basic reason that it falls, the responsibility generally falls on women, is because it's fundamental to being a woman, is that you're making up for the sin of Chava, who is Kavsa Nero Shalolam, so then it would seem that the daughter should be the one to light the candles. But if the primary reason is that it's whoever's taking care of the household needs should be the one to light the candles, because that's one of the basic needs of the household, well, very often when a mom goes away, the 12-year-old daughter is not the one that's running the house. Sometimes yes, in some households yes, that it's the 12-year-old daughter will know how to do a lot more than the father, but in some households the father's going to be the one that's taking care of everything, and the 12-year-old daughter doesn't do much of anything. So if that's the case, then the father should be the one to light the candles. So that could be that's a nafkamina between these reasons. It even begs the question why it is that any of these reasons are good enough. Meaning, if a man knows that he has an obligation of Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos, of lighting Nero Shabbos, generally there's a principle called Mitzvah Bo Yoser Mibishlucho. Better for a person to do a mitzvah himself than to rely on somebody else to do the mitzvah for you. So why don't we apply the principle of Mitzvah Bo Yoser Mibishlucho over here as well, and say that since it's your responsibility as much as it is your wife's responsibility, you should do the mitzvah rather than have someone else do the mitzvah for you. So there seem to be two approaches as to why it's just understood that a man is not going to try to be mahader and go and do the mitzvah himself. Either because mitzvah bo yosef mibishlucho does not apply when the primary responsibility of the mitzvah is not your responsibility. Mitzvah bo yosef mibishlucho is when you have primary responsibility for the mitzvah, so then better not to send a shaliach, better not to send somebody else to do it for you. But when it's you're not the one who's primarily responsible for the mitzvah, and for whatever reason, and over here we have these couple of reasons, somebody else is primarily responsible, it just happens to be that it's also your mitzvah, but only as a tafel, only as a secondary player, it's your mitzvah, we do not apply the principle of mitzvah bo yoser mibishlucho. That seems to decidedly not be the approach of the Alter Rebbe of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. The first Lubavitcher Rebbe in Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes, Vaday ha'isha eina ela shlucho shel habal, that when a woman lights candles, she is serving as the husband's shliach. V'chein b'din, d'ikar atalas shalom bayis, b'bayis alei didei ramya, shehu abal habayis. And the Shulchan Aruch HaRav says quite the opposite, that really, since the lighting of the candles is as a result, is a function of shalom bayis, and it's a husband's responsibility to ensure that shalom bayis is running properly. So it's really, he's the primary person involved in hadlakas neiros, so the woman is only the shaliach of the husband. So it seems that the Shulchan Aruch HaRav is definitely not taking this stance that the woman is the ikar in the mitzvah and the man is the tafel, the man is secondary, and therefore there's no principle of mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucho. The nafkamina might be, what would happen if the woman wants to light Shabbos candles and the husband goes and quickly lights the Shabbos candles instead, without his wife's permission? He just jumps in and lights the Shabbos candles instead. So there is a Gemara in the Sechus Baba Kama, Daf Tzadi Aleph and Beis, where the Gemara tells us that if a person is chotef mitzvah, if you grab someone else's mitzvah, the Gemara talks about, let's say, someone is supposed to be a moel. I was just at a bris mila this morning. I was zochet to be a sandik at a bris, first time in my life. That was pretty exciting. So if you have someone who is hired to be a moel, and then someone else comes, sneaks in, and does the bris themselves instead of the person who is supposed to be the moel, there's a concept called chotef mitzvah. Someone grabs the mitzvah from someone else, and now the original guy who was supposed to do the mitzvah is stuck. You're not going to mal the baby again, right? You're out a mitzvah. So what happens if the husband? So the halacha is that you chayev asar zuvim. You have to pay for that. There's a penalty to pay for stealing somebody else's mitzvah of asar zuvim. This paskind in Shulchan Aruch, actually, in Choshen Mishpat Simin Shin Pei Beis Sif Aleph, that if a person is chayev in a mitzvah, say that someone else comes and does it, you have to pay the original person 10 zuhuvim for stealing his mitzvah. So according to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that the ikur chiyuv ha-mitzvah is really on the husband. If the husband jumps and does the mitzvah and he lights the Shabbos candles without his wife's permission, he does not owe her 10 zuhuvim. But if you say, like we've been suggesting, that the ikur chiyuv is really on the woman and not on the husband, and that's why there's not even a principle of mitzvah bo yosem b'shulcho. The husband has no heder to even try to do the mitzvah on his own, because it's primarily his wife's responsibility, then he would certainly have to pay the asara zuvim. In fact, the Chida writes in Machzik Bracha, and he quotes that the Yavitz writes in Mishnah Lechem Chala, Perek Beis Mishnah Gimel, that if a husband is mafresh chala without his wife's permission, then he has to pay his wife asara zuvim. He has to pay her money for stealing her mitzvah, just like he'd have to pay anybody else if he stole anybody else's mitzvah. The other possibility, though, we gave so far one possibility as to why it is that we don't apply the principle of mitzvah bo yoser mibishlucho. There is another possibility. The other possibility why we don't apply the principle of mitzvah bo yoser mibishlucho is it could be that the requirement of mitzvah bo yoser mibishlucho does not require that you do the entirety of the mitzvah. Meaning, it might just mean that I have to do some of the mitzvah. For example, there are poskim that assume that mitzvah bo yoser mibishlucho applies to building a sukkah. Even though sitting in the sukkah is the mitzvah, but since the Netziv writes, building a sukkah is a hechsher mitzvah, ksuva b'kra, it's a preparatory stage that's actually written in the Torah, v'chagasukos tasalukha, you're supposed to build a sukkah, therefore there's a principle of mitzvah, bo yosem mibishlucho, when it comes to building a sukkah. So many have the practice that they hire people to build their sukkah, and they hire people to pick up the schach and put it on the top, and then they just roll out the last few inches of schach at the very end. Did they really build their sukkah? It rolled out a little bit of the schach at the very end. Yes, as long as you participate partially in the mitzvah, that is a fulfillment of mitzvah bo yoser mibishlucho. And Prima Gadim writes this way as well, that even though Prima Gadim says it in the context of bedikas chametz, certainly better to do bedikas chametz yourself than to hire somebody else to do the bedikah for you. But all you need to do is be bodik one room, and then you can hire somebody else to do the rest. And that's still a fulfillment of mitzvah bo yoser mi bishlucho. And that's what and therefore, of course, a woman lights the Nero Shabbos. What about the husband's mitzvah bo yosem b'shlucho? So let him do something. That's why the general practice is that men typically set up the Neros. Sometimes they light them first to make it easier to light when it comes time for the woman to light, because they've already been lit once. Right? There are these minor preparatory stages of the mitzvah that are normally performed by the husband, so he can also participate in the mitzvah. And by also participating in the mitzvah, it's a fulfillment of mitzvah bo yosem mibishlucho. Okay, so all we've established so far is that what we already knew, meaning so far all we've established is that typically speaking, in a normal Jewish household, women are the ones that are lighting the, in a typical Jewish household where there is a husband and a wife, the wife is the one that lights the Shabbos candles, right? I think we're already familiar with that universal practice in Klal Yisrael. But what we came to talk about this morning is, and what if she forgot? What if she didn't light the Neru Shabbos? Now, the enormity of the responsibility of lighting Neru Shabbos, the value of the mitzvah of lighting Neru Shabbos, is something that is very, very clear in Chazal. The Gemara says in Shabbos Tav Chav Gimel and Beis, Haragil B'ner, Havin Le'Bonim Talmidei Chachamim. Someone who's to light candles is going to have children who are Talmidei Chachamim. It's a segula to have children who are Talmidei Chachamim. And we already saw the flip side of that. If a woman is not careful about Neru Shabbos, so she there's a higher risk of dying during childbirth. We find that if you have to make a choice between Ner Shabbos and Yayin of Kiddush, that Ner Shabbos takes precedence over Yayin Shel Kiddush. There's Kedima of Ner Shabbos over Yayin Shel Kiddush. The term Kedima sometimes means precedence over, and sometimes means comes first, comes before. Like, for example, we have a principle called Tadir V'Sheino Tadir, Tadir Kodem. The Gemara talks about if you have to say the bracha of Baruch Pri Hagafen and the bracha of Kiddush, so which one do you recite first? So one of the issues in determining that is what is more Tadir. Tadir V'Sheino Tadir, Tadir Tadir Kodem. Sometimes, though, the term Kedima means it's going to be either or, and Kedima means I'm going to do this one and not that one. It's not about which one I do first, but it's which one I really give more honor to. Which one I'm really, if I can only do one, I'm going to do this one and not the other. If I can only do one well, I'm going to do this one well and the other one not as well. If I have to put more emphasis on one, Kedima means I'm going to put more emphasis on this one. Rav Shechter pointed out, we, in honor of the Chag HaSmicha, the upcoming Chag HaSmicha, we had a Ritz Shabbos in the five towns in Long Island this past Shabbos. So Rav Shechter stayed at the Hurt House, the chairman of the board, Lance Hurt, and they had a session on Friday night, a question and answer session. So someone was asking Shachter about questions relating to tzedakah. So he pointed out that there are dinim of kedima when it comes to tzedakah. That, for example, aniye ircha kodmin, that if you're deciding who to give to, poor people in your city, or poor people, as Rav Shachter likes to say, not necessarily in your geographical location, but people who, or organizations that you have a connection to that make an impact on your life, versus aniye ir acheres, versus poor people or organizations that you have no connection to. So aniye ir chakodmin. So he said he once saw a sefer that someone wrote a whole sefer about the dinim of tzedakah, and the assumption that the person had in writing the entire sefer was that when we say aniye ir chakodmin, it means that when you write the checks, the first check you write should be, you should first write the check to the people in your city and then write the check to the people in the other city. That is not at all what it means. It's not like tadir v'sheinu, tadir, tadir kodem, where it's about the order of doing the mitzvah. That's not at all what it means. No, when we say aniyah ircha kodmin, it means priority. It means not only first in line versus second in line. It means a higher percentage of your money goes to aniyah ircha. So there is this this idea of kedima when it comes to ner Shabbos and yayin shel kiddush. Kedima over here meaning if you can only do one, you do ner Shabbos rather than have yayin shel kiddush. That's how important ner Shabbos is. The Torah writes that we try to have two candles, and Beis Yosef says, because everything about Shabbos is doubled. Shnei kvasim, mizmor shir liyom haShabbos, it's a mizmor and a shir, lechem mishnah, zachar, vishomar, everything is doubled about Shabbos. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes as well, that the practice is to light two candles, echot keneged zachar, vechot keneged shomar, because there are two mitzvahs in the Torah about Shabbos, no more than two, but two basic mitzvahs in the Torah about Shabbos, zechira Shabbos and shemira Shabbos. In the Aseret HaDibros, we have one time zachar, yom haShabbos gacho, the other time shomar, yom haShabbos gacho. So everything's doubled about Shabbos. Comes along the Maharil in Hilchos Shabbos Siman Aleph. The Maharil is a foundation for Minhag Ashkenaz, pretty much. And he's the one that introduces us to the idea that if a woman forgets to light Neros Shabbos, Shetehe Zihira, now pay attention to the words over here, because the words are very important. This is the basis for the entire concept of lighting an extra candle for the rest of your life if you forget Neros Shabbos. Here are the words as it appears in its original context. Shetehe Zihira Kol Yameha Lahosif al kol ner shel mitzvah yosir mimayshaisa regila bishiuram ad ata. That she should be careful throughout the rest of her life to add on kol ner shel mitzvah. On every ner shel mitzvah, every mitzvah candle, yosir mimayshaisa regila bishiuram. More than she was accustomed to in their measure up until this point in time. What does that mean to you? To add on to each Ner Shel Mitzvah, Pashut reading of the Maharil is that the Maharil is suggesting to put more oil in the candle, to have a longer candle. He is not, in fact, suggesting to light an extra candle. That's the simple reading of the Maharil. In fact, the Darkei Moshe, authored by the Rama, asks on the Maharil, you know, there's a reason that we light two candles, meaning two is a critical number. It's like we just said, it's because of Zachar and Shamar. If you're going to add an extra candle, you're ruining the whole concept of two candles. Now there's no longer a Zachar and a Shamar. So Mordechai says it could be that you're Mekayim both. You're Mekayim Zachar and Shamar with the first two, and then extra candles don't really take away from the rest. Some people have a minag, for example, some people have a practice that they have two candlesticks. Those are very clearly the Zachar v'Shamar, and then they also have a candelabra that has other candles connected, however many children they have. But it's clear that two stand apart from the others. Some light two with oil, and the rest with wax candles, meaning that there should be this inyan of two that stand out. In many communities, the practice is not to light for all the children, not to light as many candles as children you have in the house, just to light two candles in total. But even those that do light more than two candles very often will somehow distinguish between the original two. But it's fascinating that the Darkei Moshe understood that the Maharil means to add another candle. The Maharil does not really say that. And the reason it's fascinating, I think, is we had Rav Shachter told us the following story. I don't remember Rav Shachter telling it to us, but Rabbi Isaac Rice, who has a much better memory than I do, told me that he heard from Rav Shachter the following. He said that Rav Shachter said that, you know, Rav Shachter lives in Washington Heights, on the other side of town, by the Breuer side of town. So in the Breuer's community, as you might imagine, this shaila doesn't come up so often. Yekis are very good about doing things on time when they're supposed to be done. So it's very unlikely that a woman is going to forget to light Neros Shabbos if she's a Yeki. So one time in the Breuer's community, a Nebuch, a woman forgot to light Neros Shabbos. Something happened, she forgot to light Shabbos candles. And she was so embarrassed, because what's going to happen? By the Yekis, I should point out, this is important to the story, by the Yekis, the minhag is that they light two candles and only two candles. You could have zero children, one child, 10 children, doesn't make a difference, you light two candles. But the Yekis always light two candles. So this woman said, the whole community is lighting two candles. Every time I have anyone come to my house, they're going to see there's a third candle, and they're going to know I forgot, that I'm the one German-Jewish woman who forgot to light candles. And she was very embarrassed. And she asked Rav Schwab, Kavod HaBrios over here, maybe I have a heter not to light an extra candle. And Rav Schwab told her that the knas is not that you have to light an extra candle. The knas is that you have to do something more in terms of Adlakas Neros. You know, it's a monetary fine. They have to pay a little more, so you have to spend a little more money on oil for Neros Shabbos. You have to spend a little more money on the candles. So light bigger candles. You don't have to light more candles, just light larger candles. Well, you don't have to embarrass yourself. No one will know the difference if you just light larger candles. That seems to be very, very much aligned with the Maharil, which was the basis for the original Minhag Ashkenaz. The Rama, again, seems to assume not that way, that uh, that we light the extra an extra candle, the Rama seems to assume, and that's why he's bothered. Now, wait a second, aren't you ruining the whole Zachar V'Shamur? But if you take the Maril at face value, you're not ruining the Zachar V'Shamur, you're just lighting longer candles. It's interesting, in Shari Tshuva, he writes, he quotes from Shiurei Bracha, B'Shem Moreno Rav Shmuel, Shar Aryeh Bagos Ksavyad, that writes, "De yoser tov lasos mishacha shetaspikla ania achas shemen la'adlaka erev Shabbos." Says, "You know what else you can do? Instead of lighting one extra candle, provide neros Shabbos for someone who can't afford it." But the minig is lahosif ner kedivri mariel. He says, "But that's not the minig. The minig is that we add an extra candle, even though he said I would have thought that it would be better to provide neros Shabbos. Meaning, you want to show that you're taking the mitzvah seriously, enable someone else to do the mitzvah, someone else who maybe wouldn't be able to do the mitzvah." Another reason that we add an extra candle is mentioned in the Prima Gadim, not because of a knas, it's not a penalty, it's not a punishment for having failed in any way. No, it's a kapara on not being mekayim the minag properly, not being mekayim the din properly. So these are two very different things. There's a difference between a knas and a kapara. A knas means that you're being penalized, you're being punished, you need to suffer the consequences. A kapara means I just need to make up for something. I need to generate a zechus that's going to compensate for the zechus that I did not generate, that I need kapara for. There may be many nafkaminas, whether the issue is one of knas or one of kapara. What happens if a woman didn't light candles, but not because she forgot? It was an onus. It was something out of her control that she couldn't. She got ill before Shabbos and she was unable to light candles. One of her children fell and she had to run and bring them to the emergency room before Shabbos. Something else happened. She was in labor. One of the poskim I saw, one of the achronim suggests that the basis for the practice that so many people have, that they light an extra candle for each child that they have, was actually based on this halacha, that when a woman forgets to light Nero Shabbos, the Maril says you light an extra candle. So it used to be for each child, it meant she missed Shabbos candles that week, because after going through childbirth, a woman was like out of commission for a week, so she wasn't going to get to light Shabbos candles. So it wasn't for the kid, it was for the lack of lighting when she had the kid. And nowadays, Baruch Hashem, the improvement in health that we have, nowadays a woman goes into the hospital on Thursday to have a baby, and she's out in time for Shabbos. She's already running on the treadmill at the gym on Friday morning. It's amazing what these superwomen are able to do sometimes, and bounce right back from something like that. But it used to be that it knocked you out for a whole week. And if it knocked you out for a whole week, you'd miss lighting Shabbos candles. So nafkamina would be over here. What if a woman was an ones? It wasn't her fault. So you can't make a knas. You're not going to penalize somebody where it's out of their control, where it wasn't their fault. But a kapara b'miktzas, you didn't actually do the mitzvah, so you still want to get to generate a little zechus that you missed out. You missed out on that zechus. Meaning, sometimes people misunderstand. They think just because it's not my fault, it means that there are no consequences to it. Sometimes there are things that are not my fault at all. Let's say, you have a person who was never able to learn, was never sent to yeshiva, was never able to learn, was always... So it's not their fault that they can't learn. And they're not going to be punished for not learning, but they're also not a Talmud Chacham, meaning you don't just become if you don't get to do it, if you don't get to do the mitzvah, you don't get to experience the benefits of that mitzvah. So it could be a woman who's ba'ones, you're not going to punish her, it's not going to be a knas, but it's kedai to achieve some sort of kapara, to sort of make up for the missed opportunity of a mitzvah. Another nafkamina might be the following. What happens if my wife is away for Shabbos, and I know my responsibility, my wife is away for Shabbos, I have to light the Shabbos candles, and I forgot, because I'm not used to lighting Shabbos candles, so I just totally forgot and I didn't do it. We just still apply the knas. How would that knas play out? What's going to happen? My wife is going to be back next Shabbos. So every Shabbos for the rest of her life, she's going to light an extra candle because her idiot husband decided that he's going to forget to light Shabbos candles 1 week. If it's a knas, it really doesn't make sense to be kones the woman because of the man, what the man did. Meaning, she's going to be the one lighting Shabbos candles, you're going to throw an extra Shabbos candle in for her every week just because he forgot? But if it's about kapara, that this household needs this sense of kapara, it's not a punishment, it's just to make up for what the household was missing, even though it was because of the negligence of the husband. Another nafkamina might be, the poskim discuss, what happens if a woman forgets to light Yontif candles, not Shabbos candles, right? She forgets to light Yontif candles. This comes up all the time. Erev Yontif tends to be a very busy time in most households. A woman forgot to light Yontif candles. There's a tshuva sefer called Tshuvas Kinyan Torah Bahalacha, where he paskins, Chelek Aleph Simen Pei Zayin, that we should not make a knas in such a case, because if you forget to light Yontif candles, you know what you could do? You're sitting around the Yontif table, and you realize you forgot to light the candles. It is a very simple solution if it's Yontif. Just light the candles on Yontif. You could, as long as you have a fire that's going, you have a yahrzeit candle that's going, you can just light the candles. It's not a problem. So go ahead and light the candles. What do you mean we're gonna make a rule? So it's possible, though, that you went the whole meal and you went to sleep the night without even realizing. Without even realizing that you forgot to light the candles. So if that's the case, that you went, that's such a milsa de lo shchicha, that's such an uncommon thing. How often does that happen? You can go the whole meal where nobody's going to notice that the leichter is empty? So the milsa de lo shchicha, lo gozu be rabbanan. Something that's very uncommon, it's very unlikely to happen, the rabbanan would never make a knas, would never make a gzeira on such a thing, and therefore says the tshuvas kinyan torah ba'alacha, you don't have to light an extra candle if you forget yantif candles. On the other side, there are many poskim that say otherwise. The tshuvas be'er Moshe and chelik esim and kof aleph and chelik esim and samach gimel, the tshuvas shraga meir and chelik esim and yud gimel, and a whole group of achronim say that that it doesn't help. You still have to light even if you forgot yantif candles. L'chor, it's all tali on this issue. Is the forgetting to light and having to light an extra candle mishum knas or mishum kapara? If it's a knas, it's mistaver that they don't make a knas on a milsa lo shchicha. But if it's a betoras kapara, you have to make up for a missed opportunity, for a lost chance at a mitzvah. So whether it's common or not common, you did it. So if you did it, then you got to make up for the missed opportunity, for the lost mitzvah. However, one could ask on this shita of the Kinyan Torah Ba'alacha, that there's no such din by Yom Tov, that according to the Magen Avraham, in Siman Reish Samach Gimel, that even on Shabbos, it's not really so common that a woman would forget to light Shabbos candles. Because even on Shabbos, if it's too late and you forgot, there is another option. The Magen Avraham writes, find a non-Jew and have the non-Jew light for you, and then you'll be Mekayim, the mitzvah of Hadlaka. So even that would be a Milsa Lo Shchicha, that a woman forgets and goes through the whole meal without realizing. Why couldn't she just find a non-Jew? So it's a Milsa Lo Shchicha that she wouldn't have had that opportunity. Furthermore, he says, the rule of Milsa Lo Shchicha L'Gazur Be'Rabbanan was only instituted when it comes to a takana that Chazal made. But this isn't a takanas chachamim, this is a minag that women accepted upon themselves, that women decided to do, or that somebody decided would be appropriate for women to do. It's the Shulchan Aruch's lashon is that they were noeg liknos la'atzman. It was a self-imposed penalty. So that it could be that they accepted to take upon themselves the self-imposed penalty, regardless of whether it's milsa d'shchicha or milsa lo shchicha. Another nafkamina might be, there's a tshuva shraga hameir that discusses if someone forgot multiple times throughout the course of a year to light Shabbos candles, do you add a ner for each Shabbos that you forgot, or is one ner good enough? So he thinks one ner is good enough because it's mitam knas, and it's one knas is good enough for everything. It could be, though, that if it's mitam kapara, then you have more to make up for. You have more to make up. It's not just a knas, not just that you should have this extra reminder, this extra penalty, but it's a kapara, then you have more to make up for. Maybe you have to light one candle for each Shabbos that you miss out. Now, there are situations where the poskim say very clearly that a woman does not have to light an extra candle. Bir Alachan writes in Siman Reish Samach Gimel that a woman who lit but didn't light the number of neros that she's accustomed to light does not have to add an extra candle. I remember a few years ago, Nebuch, there was a house fire somewhere as a result of Neros Shabbos, and Rabbi Willig came out with a psak, Marina Rav Willig Shlita came out with a psak for his community that nobody is allowed to light more than two candles. Everyone has to be like the Breuer's community, light only two candles for that, and like many communities, only light two candles for Neros Shabbos. It's too risky. Let's say you're not willing to accept that psak of Rabbi Willig. Your mother and your grandmother and your great-grandmother all lit the number of candles corresponding to the number of children they have. But if you're invited out Friday night and you know the candles are going to remain unattended, you're uneasy about lighting two candles plus one for each of your 12 children and 27 grandchildren. So you you're uneasy about leaving all those candles out. So you light two candles. So do you have to have a knas for that, for lighting two candles? Says Bir Lacha, absolutely no knas. As long as there's any sort of candle lit, then it's not a violation. Then you do not have to light an extra candle. A second exception to the rule, Magen Avraham and Simei Reish Samach Gimel, Sivkat and Gimel writes, Vim Shacha Kama Pa'amim, Tzricha Lahosef Bechal Pa'am, Ki Adavr Mishum Heker, Shetia Zihira Mikaro Labah B'Kavod Shabbos. That if she forgets many times, she has to add each time, that it should always be a heker, so that she could be motivated to be more careful about Kavod Shabbos. And he says, "Umi high time anira li dim nens of loed lika gon shay some beis asur mechiyotzi ba ein sarach lahosif." That I think that if there was an onus, she was for some reason arrested and put in jail and didn't have access to candles, that she doesn't have to add. So that we already discussed that idea of onus, but says the Magen Avraham that maybe she does not have to add an extra candle if it was an onus. We already suggested that may depend on whether you view it as a knas or a kapara. A third example where we don't make this knas, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita is recorded in the Sefer Kovetz Halachos, written by his Talmud Rav Daniel Asher Kleinman in Shabbos, the volume on Shabbos Perek Zayin, footnote Chavav, that if a woman is in someone else's house and eats a seuda by somebody else, or she's sleeping in her own house and she's eating somewhere else and she forgets to light Neros Shabbos, she does not have to light another Shabbos candle, because we assume she was relying on the lighting of the person who she was staying at. So she was Yotzei the Mitzvah of Neros Shabbos together with the person whose home she was staying at, who already lit Shabbos candles. A fourth exception to the rule, Nishal Burin Sim Reish Samach Gimel Sivkat and Zayin, quotes from the Elie Rabbah, that if a woman is very poor, then we should be makel when she forgets, because it's going to cost her too much, and if she's always lighting a little extra candle, then it's an extra candle. The cost is going to be too prohibitive and too difficult for her to handle. B'chiyai Gavna, they were never gozer such a knas. He says, the Mishnah says, better is to just put in an extra drop of oil than you normally would in the candle, a slightly longer wax candle, which, remember, as we said, that was the real basis of the minhag in the first place. The real basis of the minhag was to light a little bit of a longer candle. And all of this brings us to the biggest exception, or the final exception, and that is, this whole thing might not apply to Zman HaZeh anyway. How many of us really rely on candlelight to light up our homes? There is a machlokas aposkim, if nowadays at all, when we have electric lights in our house, is there even any such knas? In the Tshuvas Avnei Yoshpen, Chelek Alef Siminun Hei Anav Vav, he quotes from Gaon Echad, which means Rabbi Yashiv, that if there was Or Chashmal that was already lit, even though that she didn't light candles, you don't make a knas, because there was Or, there was light in the room. And he says that even if you have a Shabbos clock that lit the candle, no person did the lighting. It was or you just left the lights on from before. It was the lights have been on all week. But nevertheless, since there is light, the knas is on account of the lack of shalom bayis, the fact that people are going to be tripping over each other and they're not going to be able to see where they're going. But if you don't have such a reality, you don't have such a situation, then there is no knas. So that's the shita of Rav Yashiv, that we don't make a knas when a woman forgets to light in Erev Shabbos, when you have Or Chashmal that's lit. And not only does Rav Yashiv, Zichrono Levracha, the great Ashkenazi Posek Hador of the last generation hold that way, but the great Svardi Posek Hador of the last generation, Rav Avadi Yosef in Chazon Avadi, Hilchos Hadlakas Neros, page Kovayin Gimel, also holds that way. And he writes, Bizmanenu, Shemadikim Chashmal, Lahayr et Kalabayit, Imshacha Lahadik Nerot Shemen Oshava, Einat Zvich Losef Klal. She doesn't have to add anything, because you're already Yotze with the Chashmal. There's no Hafarat Shalom Beito, he says, and the Brachos are not Ma'akev, so don't worry about that either. That is the Shita of Rav Yashiv and Rav Avadi Yosef. Rav Vosner, Zichrono Levracha, in Tshuva Shevet HaLevi, Chelekei Simulam Gimel, was asked this same question. What about nowadays, where we have electric candles? And he says, you know, it's very hard to answer questions like this because the whole concept of lighting an extra candle doesn't really have a source in Rishonim. It means just the Maril. It's not really a sugya anywhere that you can study. And certainly the idea of electric candles was not something, electric lights was not something that the Rishonim could have discussed. So it's hard to really come to a conclusion. But he says, my feeling is that since we assume that women are obligated to light candles in addition to the electric lights in the room, if that's the assumption you're going to make, since we assume that way, and she didn't do that which she normally assumes she's responsible to do, he says, I think the kanas would still be in place. I think the obligation would still be in place to light that extra candle. In the Tshuvas Tzitz Eliezer, Chelech Chaf Aleph, Simin Yod Aleph, Rav Waldenberg, Zechar Levracha, explains this in a little more detail, and he says, why is it that we still light candles? Let's go back to the beginning. Why are we even bothering lighting candles nowadays? So he says, you know, the reason we light candles nowadays is because it's not, you know, the electric lights are on all week long. You want to give a Shabbos feel. You know, you want to give, if anyone has a painting in their home, you know, of a Shabbos table, right? Many people have, like, in their dining rooms, a painting of a mother, you know, like this, over the Shabbos, by the Shabbos candles, or a family sitting around the Shabbos table. There's always Neiros Shabbos on the table. That's just what Shabbos looks like. Shabbos looks like Neiros Shabbos. It gives an ambiance of Shabbos. So the failure to fulfill that ambiance of Shabbos may result in this knas. That's how Rav Vosner holds against Rav Eliashiv, against Rav Ad Yosef. I should add against Morenu Rav Shachter Shlita, who also says that if there are electric lights, then there's no need for a knas. Then of course you have Shabbos candles, you have the lights on, so that's good enough for having had Shabbos candles. The yisod of the machlokas might be, what this machlokas might revolve around, is why it is that we have a minhag to make a knas. Is it because of the bittul mitzvah of kavod Shabbos, or because of the lack of shalom bayis? Meaning, if it's a lack of shalom bayis, there's no lack of shalom bayis. Everything is lit. Everything is lit up. You're able to see. Shalom bayis means that the household should be able to function. The household can function. Everything is lit up. But if it's about a din of kavod Shabbos, so the din of kavod Shabbos means that you're supposed to do things in advance of Shabbos to prepare for Shabbos. So if a person didn't do anything in advance of Shabbos to prepare the candles, then that would be, then the knas l'chora would still apply. So to basically summarize, what we did today is that we tried to explain why it is that it's a woman's responsibility any more than it is a man's responsibility to light Neiros Shabbos, why it is that we don't apply the principle of mitzvah bo yosur mibishlucho, and therefore husbands don't go out of the way to light, but they should go out of the way to participate partially, like the Prima Gadim said. And then we discussed this idea of a knas, and whether it's really a knas, like the Maril says, or is it a kapara, to light an extra candle, or a longer candle. We gave several nafkaminas, whether it's a knas or a kapara. One of those nafkaminas was if it's an ones, another nafkamina if the wife is away for Shabbos and the husband is the one lighting, another nafkamina is if the husband forgot, and then the wife is going to be the one to light the extra candle every week. And then we discussed situations where the knas would not apply. If a woman didn't light as many candles as she normally lights, if a woman keeps on forgetting, woman forgets ba'ones, or if a woman's in somebody else's house for the Friday night meal and they lit, or if Nebuch, someone is very poor and can't afford to light. And then the final exception, according to Rav Eliashiv and Rav Vadia and Rav Shechter and Yibadul Chaim Tov Meruchim, Rav Shechter Shlita, is that if there's electric light, then there's no need to add an extra candle. Obviously, you'd ask your local Orthodox Rabbi a shayla like you would any other shayla, but it seems that there's ample reason to assume that perhaps the entirety of this din doesn't even apply nowadays. I wish everyone a wonderful day, and I thank you so much for joining me and learning this morning.
Thank you so much. I really wish. Thank you for coming.